And welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Also, Bill Jack from Real G Academy. And this was, we come back to popular culture, so influential in the modern world, not so much in the 18th century and the 19th century, but the 21st century, most certainly, everybody is somewhat plugged into popular culture. Tremendous influence upon us, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. It may be influencing our friends and fellow church members. And then secondarily, it's like secondhand smoke. We all wind up sharing some of these popular cultural ideals and perspectives. But so we want to be sure that everybody is up to speed as to what is happening with popular culture today and how we, of course, have to be careful that we do not conform ourselves to this world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we would know, that we'd prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God as defined by Scripture. Here's a New American article just hot off the press. Pop stars are increasingly moving towards overt forms of Satanism. Now, it turns out Satan, that is the devil, is real. But Bill, he takes a multi-pronged approach. He wants attention from believers. And when he gets too much attention from believers, he loves it. People start to fear him instead of fearing God and trusting God and realizing that Jesus has overcome the devil at the cross. And we ourselves are overcomers through him who loves us. Now, Satan, of course, wants too much attention, the wrong kind of attention from believers. He also wants to be ignored so that he can get away with tempting people to sin. So, you know, he likes it either way. Getting too much attention or not enough attention, either way, works well for him. He also wants to be at the beck and call of people who want power and think they can control the demons, ergo witches and mediums. So he wants that as well. He also wants to be joked about and caricaturized so that people are confused as to what he really is. He also wants to be denied by the atheists who deny his existence but serve him nonetheless. All of this applies to our world today and to pop culture today. And so, Bill, as you consider the influence of Satanism, we've talked a little bit about this on previous programs. I have an entire chapter on the influence of the demonic spiritual force in the modern world, beginning in Russia in the 1500s and working its way into the French Revolution in the 1700s and on into America in the 1800s, and then the rock and roll revolution of the 20th century. And now here we are with increasingly overt forms of Satanism celebrated on the stage, with some of the mainstream concerts, folks. Back in the 1970s, you remember backmasking, Iron Maiden, Number of the Beast, not Top 40, Black Sabbath, Megadeth, Devil's Advocate. Then in the 1990s, Marilyn Manson influencing people like Matthew Murray, who shot up YWAM in the New Life Church in Colorado Springs, I'm going to say in 2013, 2014. But none of these were mainstream. Black Sabbath was not Debbie Boone, right?
Yeah.
Black Sabbath was not Debbie Boone. Marilyn Manson was not New Kids on the Block. These guys weren't mainstream. But now, Taylor Swift has her Satanist gig. Billie Eilish, depicted as a demon fallen angel, All Good Girls Go to Hell, her set of blasphemous lyrics broadcast for the world to hear. Katy Perry did her Dark Horse performance and satanic ceremonies on stage in the 2014 Grammys. And the 2023 Grammy Awards, absolutely horrendous.
Sam Smith, celebrating
transgenderism, Satanism, and profanity. Senator Ted Cruz referred to the Grammy Satanic's performance as a sheer evil, and other conservative commentators called it a mockery of Christianity. You know, these are more mainstream. This is not Megadeth. This isn't Marilyn Manson. This is mainstream, and it's being presented by some of the mainstream stars of the day.
Yeah, it's not a niche group in music, in rock and roll, in pop culture. It has become more mainstream, and it's become more overt, as you referenced with Sam Smith at the 23 Grammys. And before that, in the 2014 Grammys, where they performed a mock faux wedding ceremony with 23, I think it was, couples of varying stripes, including homosexuals, and all the celebration around that. It was a worldwide celebration. So you're seeing Satanism, perversion, sexual perversion celebrated more openly and in the mainstream media, especially in music and in music videos, than ever before.
I'm trying to think of a time in history in which Satan was so overtly worshipped by the masses. And I think part of this is post-Christian angst. Apostates get one more fling, one more desperate, obscene gesture in the face of God kind of thing. But I have a segment on this in my book, Epoch, the Rise and Fall of the West, Chapter 7, where I speak of the rise and then the fall of the spiritual power of the West. And I think what we're seeing may be preparing us for another French Revolution, which, by the way, was a satanic love fest. And this really begins in the 1740s, 1750s, 1760s. The more revolutionary Adam Weishaupt came on the scene in 1776 with the intent to implement the theories of Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the abolition of private property and nationality. The initiate in Weishaupt's Illuminati first committed himself to the revolutionary agenda and then proceeded into a dark room filled with emblems of mystery, forced to confess his darkest secrets and then clothed in sacerdotal garments. The Illuminati received some notoriety and increased spiritual influence from the famous occultist Cagliostro. By 1788, there were 729 Grand Orient lodges scattered throughout Europe. A card-carrying member of the Illuminati, a man by the name of Clotes, called himself the personal enemy of Jesus Christ. He declared before the convention of November 17, 1792, "The people is the sovereign and the God of the world. Only fools believe in any other God in a supreme being." That's when the Revolutionary Convention issued the decree proclaiming the nullification of all religions, the beginning of the pluralist atheistic state in the modern world. Interest in the occult was mainstream in Paris by 1781, at least in part due to the influence of Jean-Baptiste Aliette and his introduction to divination by way of tarot cards. This marks the spiritual decline of the continent and something of the malevolent spiritual force that broke down the spiritual Christian influence in the West. Whether these early secret societies could be classified as the occult or very odd cults that had nothing to do with Orthodox Christianity hardly mattered. This was radical departure from the faith, inspired no doubt by the devil himself. The revolution quickly brought together an unmitigated spite for Christianity. The time had come to shake off the heritage, the moral conscience, the symbols, the spiritual influence of 1600 years of Christian faith in Europe. In some places of the country, Christian worship was actually banned. In France, upon pain of death, Christian symbols were torn down everywhere, crosses destroyed, altars chopped up. The Clermont Cathedral was confiscated, given the name the Temple of Reason. Men and women exchanged their Christian names for ancient pagan Roman names. The Cathedral of Notre Dame was turned into another Temple of Reason, and an actress was set on the high altar and given the title Goddess of Reason for all to worship. It seemed as if the dragon himself had been unleashed from the bottomless pit. The Reign of Terror commenced on September 5th, 1793, with a call to action from Bertrand Barrere. He said, "Let us make terror the order of the day." President Robespierre pontificated, "Terror is nothing more than speedy, severe, and inflexible justice. It's thus the emanation of virtue." Some 17,000 people were executed by the guillotine. The spiritual element was working overtime behind the scenes to produce the mayhem, endless bloodshed, unrelenting terror. At this time, hundreds of secret cults surfaced and proliferated. Pornography and prostitution were rampant. Satanic orgies, black masses, sexual perversion, blasphemies were the order of the day around Paris. Nobody was safe, including Robespierre, who, by the way, was taken to execution on July 24, 1794. So that from Epoch, the Rise and Fall of the West. And I think people need to understand that there is a spiritual element that really does kick in first, and then you get the bloody revolution. So that's the pattern followed by the satanic Illuminati secret societies, the occultic influences first, and then you get, of course, the horrible revolution that takes France by storm in the 1790s. So that's the only other instance in history that I can think of in which Satanism came out of the closet, was openly celebrated, and apparently that's happening on stages all across America right now, Bill.
Yeah, and again, it's becoming very overt, as you said, and as a result, we should be aware that when the culture drifts that way, then bad things follow. Bad things happen. When you begin to celebrate openly evil, then judgment is not far behind.
Well, we're going to take a break and come back in just a moment on this article from a New American on the overt forms of Satanism that are increasingly evident on stage with these pop stars. Be back in just a moment on Generations.
Well, friends, Danny Craig here, host of homeschoolsummits.com and on the team here at Generations. I'm excited to be one of the speakers for the 2024 Colorado Father-Son Retreat, and I wanted to invite you to join me and my son, Jed, and speakers Kevin Swanson, Todd Adams, Mike Snavely, Logan Wilson, and hundreds of other fathers and sons at the Colorado Father-Son Retreat this August 15th to the 18th, or August 22nd to the 25th, to grow closer to your sons and to our God. Last summer, over 500 fathers and sons went on an amazing adventure together to have a life-changing experience in the Colorado Mountains. God did an amazing work in the lives of these men, and we believe and pray He will do it again this summer. Men, you are being invited to assemble in the Colorado Mountains to worship, play, shoot, zipline, to go deeper with your son and explore the gospel of Jesus Christ and how it can transform your father-son relationship. Go to ColoradoFatherSon.com and secure your spot today. Don't miss the adventure before you. ColoradoFatherSon.com.
And we're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, also Bill Jack. And Bill, as we talk about the influence of popular culture, we find that so much of the nefarious, horrific elements of culture, whether it be homosexuality or Satanism or any of these other things, they start in the closet in the 1950s and 1960s. They work their way into the bedroom, then on into the living room, and then in the front yard, and then it's right in the middle of the street. So you see that happening. You know, at one time, Satanism is something that's, you know, happening in the darkest corners of human society, but it seems to work its way into the mainstream. That's what's happening now. And now we're seeing that with homosexuality. We're seeing it with the problems with all other forms of sexual perversion. Pornography, you know, was very much in the closet in the 1920s, 1930s, 1940s, 1950s, until we come to the Warren Court and they slam the doors open for Pandora's box, and the rest is history. Okay, well, this New American article points out that now pop stars are increasingly moving towards overt forms of Satanism. Just a few quotes from the article. Whether you consider Satan's sinister spirit or symbol, he's assuredly in style. A good example is the 2016-2021 series Lucifer. A more recent one is a concert put on by aging pop star Madonna, an event including a reportedly blasphemous use of a prayer hymn that narrates Jesus' crucifixion. Madonna always good with blasphemy, but the point is that she's now placing the blasphemy on a satanic altar. So that's what's, I guess, new for this recent concert series produced by Madonna. 40 years after she attained pop star fame, Madonna is still packing stadiums. Once she did this by selling sex, now she does it by selling Satanism. So that's the shift that's occurred in just the last 5 years. If you're thinking it's an exaggeration to say that this is satanic, it's important to note that the intro to Madonna's segment in her show was a Sam Smith, Kim Petras song called Unholy. So what she's doing is she's mass producing that particular song that was played apparently in the 2023 Grammys. The video has 238 million views on YouTube alone. And so it's not as if this is some sort of a minor thing. This, again, is not some small niche part of American culture. This is mainstream American culture now. Satan is mainstream in America today. This article continues. Imagine Entertainment started embracing Nazi symbolism and created titillating works featuring Nazism, cheering Nazism. Would that be concerning? So that's the question that this editorialist is asking concerning the popularization of Satanism. For the reality is that Satanism or Nazism represents for us profound evil, and legitimizing evil never ends well. Yet what does Satan represent? Of course, nothing but evil. Also points out that overt Satanism is the newest video from Justin Timberlake, a thoroughly mainstream figure as well. It has an archive where you'll see themes, blood sacrifice, satanic rituals, demons played out over and over again. So there it is. Wow. Apparently, Justin Timberlake, Madonna, Katy Perry, some of the more popular artists, Billie Eilish, Taylor Swift has her satanic gig that she puts on from time to time. So, wow, this is where the culture is going these days. Now, the concerts themselves appear as something of a worship service, arms in the air. I don't know if you've ever seen some of these pop concerts. They do come across like worship services. The question is, are you worshiping the star or Satan? And I think there's maybe a little bit of both going on at the same time. There's worship of man, the worship of Satan, either way.
It's a pretty typical pagan ploy. You get people hyped up. You get them to repeat word after word after word. They lose their self and become part of the mob. They repeat a mantra in some of these. And so it puts them into an altered state of consciousness, which then opens them up to be manipulated either by somebody else on stage, or by something. Okay. And it's so we're not to be participants in that. We are to not empty our minds. We are to fill our minds with the Word of God. We're not to repeat phrases over and over. We are to use intelligible language. We are to fill our minds with the Word of God and then chew on the Word of God. We think about, we talk about, we repeat the passages of Scripture that we know to be true. But in these rock concerts, and sometimes this happens even in Christian concerts, it is this mob expression, and it's a releasing yourself and putting yourself under somebody else's control. It is putting yourself into an altered state of consciousness. And we have to avoid that because then you are open to manipulation, again, by either other people or by satanic demons.
There are certain sins or certain things that people do that open themselves up to demonic activity. And I would caution all of us and bring this to application for every one of us. And we as Christians certainly can open the door to satanic influence in our families and churches. And may I say that pride is number one. That may be something of a surprise to some of you, but we find that pride certainly can open the door. People fall into the snare of the devil because of youthful pride. Fame is a huge trap. I think that's one reason why pop stars often open the door more than anybody else, because performing in front of large groups of people can open a person up to pride to embrace human accolades, and then this devil steps right in. So pride is the first means by which people open themselves up to demonic activity. Secondly, lack of forgiveness and a breakdown of relationship within the context of the church. The Apostle Paul says we are not unaware of the devil's devices, who takes advantage of the disrupted relationships within the context of family and church. Thirdly, as Bill mentioned, the abandonment of mind control to a hypnosis. And this happens with certain forms of music, certain forms of repetition as well. We are commanded to sing with the understanding and the spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And modern music tends to encourage more of an emotional response to the music and a release of control of the mind in that experience. And then finally, Bill, I would also say playing with the occult or being drawn into that which is unknown, Kabbalism, UFOs, etc., seeking knowledge from anybody but God, seeking a secret knowledge, has always been a huge risk. And as you know, Bill, there's oftentimes a fascination to the occult, and it can be very seductive as well.
Right, because it gives the appeal is that you get power from the occult, and when you get power, then you can control events in a chaotic world, or you can control events and people in a chaotic relationship, in a chaotic family. So there is that appeal that it will give you power. It will generate power for you that you can control. But as we know, Satan is the father of lies. And what really turns out is that he has power over you rather than giving you power.
Right. Rather than assuming that control yourself, you're actually releasing yourself to increasing levels of control under the power of the devil himself. So, friends, Satan has a multi-pronged approach here. He wants attention from believers, too much attention, lots of attention, such that believers will start to fear him instead of fearing God and trusting God. They'll be more focused upon what he's doing than what God is doing. He also wants to be ignored so that he can get away with tempting people into sin. He also wants to be at the beck and call of people who want the power and they think they can control the demons, as in the case of these witches and mediums. He also wants to be joked about and caricaturized so that people are confused as to who he really is. He also wants to be denied by the atheists who deny his existence but serve him nonetheless. So all of these approaches are taken on by this satanic force, by this deceptive, demonic influence that is all over the world today and certainly is extremely active in popular culture. So what do we do? Well, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise. So think on that which is praiseworthy. Think on the truth of God. Think of the works of God, the power of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ and overcoming all evil. Think upon the works of God in history and realize that God is worthy of our attention. God is worthy of our praise. And don't let yourself be diverted to anything else. I believe that the devil's number one strategy is diversion. Certainly deceptiveness, but diversion. The devil is out to divert. He wants to divert your attention from God, from God's works, from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And of course, he wants you to praise that which is not praiseworthy. So it's for us to come back to the praiseworthiness of God, the greatness, the goodness, the power, the wisdom, and the love of God as exhibited first and foremost in the Lord Jesus Christ. In overcoming the devil, overcoming all evil, and beating sin, death, and the devil at the cross for us, and then rising from the dead and giving us that hope of the resurrection. Friends, that's the message. That's the thing to focus on. Let's not be diverted to that which is questionable, that which is the occult, that which is the unknown. What matters is what is known, what God has given to us, the truth accessible to us by the revelation of Jesus Christ, by the revelation of the Old and New Testament available to us to be believed, to be hoped in, and to be lived out in our lives. That, my friends, is what we are to do. And redeem the time, for the days are evil. So stay in the Word, but don't be diverted from it. These are my final exhortations on this edition of the Generations Broadcast. Friends, I'd encourage you to my book, The Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Do with Pop Culture. It gives you a little bit of a biblical perspective on popular culture, especially those forms of culture that are so powerful and influential in the minds and lives of the average person living in this day. So the book is called The Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Do with Pop Culture, available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.